Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hello, listeners of Lower Your Expectations. Welcome back to the podcast and welcome, Mr. Oliver Proudlock.
Thank you very much, brother. Wow, you have got a really good radio voice.
Do you think? Does it suddenly change? Do I just change
Marcus
from normal?
He just turns it on. Mac, can I hear you do the same intro?
Oh, he's got a better.
Hello, guys. Welcome back to Lower Your Expectations, where this week we have Oliver Proudlock on the show.
Yes, come on.
Now let's hear an intro from you.
Ooh, hello, ladies and gentlemen. He said the best was on. Let me start again. Hello, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Lower Your Expectations. And today we have the very fine Oliver Proudlock.
Whee!
I need way more practice on that. Apologies.
It's my first time. Is this your first podcast?
Yes, it is. Nice. Absolutely. Thank you for having me, boys. Appreciate it.
Thanks for coming. We do have to apologize for the hot, sweaty room.
It is pretty toasty. I'm just glad that it's not as hot as it has been. But you boys are moving space. You've got a new space coming.
Extremely exciting. Very exciting.
I got the timing a little wrong. I feel like had I left it a little bit longer, I would have been in the new spot.
You would have.
Literally. You would have had the VIP treatment.
Yeah. No worries, guys. This is
Season three.
That's where it's at. Love it.
For people who maybe don't know who you are, what you're about, a lot of people in the UK will know you. Obviously, you came up in Made in Chelsea.
Yeah.
Since then, you've moved on to many different avenues, which we'll get into. How do you describe yourself, though?
I guess for me, like you say, a lot of people in the UK and some people who watch the show outside of the UK will know me from Made in Chelsea. That started about 7 years ago. And for me at the time, I guess, it was just a really good opportunity. It was a platform. I had my clothing brand. I saw it as an opportunity to get myself out there. At the time, I had this brand, but I didn't know how to get it out there.
So you had the brand before?
I had the brand before. Okay, so cool. I set up the brand about 6 months before joining the show.
For anyone that doesn't know what Made in Chelsea is,
yep.
I mean, you're probably better. I could sit here and attempt to describe
it. I know you watch it every week. So I mean, you probably watch it more than I do, Marcus. So it is a reality TV show set in Chelsea, in London. It follows a group of people around their sort of relationships, all the things that are going on. And yeah, when it started, you know, we all knew each other. All the people on the show, they kind of came to a group of us.
Were you guys all friends?
We were all friends before. And it was actually the guys who set up the show. They did The Only Way is Essex. They started that show. So I think they want to continue to do something a little different and found us as a group of people and started filming the show.
How did they find you guys?
Yeah, as a collective?
Yeah, I don't actually know.
So you didn't have to cast?
No, you didn't have to cast. You basically had to be connected. So we all had to know each other. So in the first series and the second, we all were very, very close. And then as the seasons progress and they need to get new people on the show, they've got to have some sort of connection. And I think that's how the show has done so well, because it's been very natural and authentic. So they haven't just been bringing together strangers, if you see what I mean. So there's already that history within people already.
Well, that's evident in the camaraderie between you guys, isn't
it?
You can't fake that. It'd be very awkward just to throw a load of people together and be like, perform, guys, go.
But I mean, obviously some of these shows like Love Island and all these shows, they do that.
And obviously, they cast,
and they've got to make sure they get the right sort of people. But with ours, you know, I think there's a couple things. One, I think the way it's shot beautifully. The production of everything is really, really high end. And then, like I say, the sort of relationship between the people is very authentic, which really helps.
So do you think it was maybe like a bit of a risk if they obviously didn't cast you? Did they like do test runs with it, or did they just run with it? Like, cool, we're going to make a series and just...
I think they just ran with it. And I think with some people, they maybe didn't work, because they do test people and sometimes relationships don't work. Maybe certain storylines don't work, because there is a writer coming up with certain ideas, but it's all coming from us, if you see what I mean. So, you know, whatever's happening in our lives, they try and make it a little more interesting and they bring in different characters. So for instance, if you started dating someone, they would bring them in on the show.
Can you imagine just dropping that on them? You start dating someone and they don't know and you're like, you're now going to be on the
That's
show.
The quite full-on thing. And obviously the show, a lot of it is around relationships, right? I've always been someone on there who doesn't really want to bring all of that. I've never really wanted to bring my relationship into the show. But, you know, a lot of people obviously have.
I guess for you, it's probably different because, so your relationship is not involved in the show. Your fiance, Emma, she's not
sounds
on
so
the show.
Weird, that fiance.
Same with him.
And dude, you're a married man now, aren't you?
I'm saying wife. And if
dude,
I had
how
kids,
weird does that sound?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I'm still not used to it. Like, when I say to friends, I'll be like, oh, yeah, can I bring my girlfriend sort of thing? I'm like, no, what am I talking about? Not even fiance, it's wife.
When did you get married?
6 months ago. Was it
6 months
ago?
May. I don't know.
Was it unbelievable?
It was the best day of my life. And that sounds like a cliche.
No, because I always say now, the day I got engaged is the best day of my life. But then I think, like you say, your wedding day is probably going to be the best day of your life. And then I think when you have your first child, that's going to be the best day of your life, and so on and so forth.
What's the last best day of your life?
Wow. I'm not sure about that one on a Friday.
How's your wedding plan? When it was quite recently.
So only got engaged 4 weeks ago. You know what it's like, man. First few weeks is your adrenaline and everything's super exciting, and you keep seeing, you know, people you haven't seen in a while. So you're kind of like celebrating throughout that whole period, and then you're like, oh wow, we really need to start planning this. So we have met up with the wedding planners. I think for us now, we just need to get a venue and a date, and then send out save the date, and then we can enjoy our house that we just bought. So now we've got to really focus on that. So
you're literally following.
Dude, I'm following your footsteps, right? I'm so glad you can give me all the advice I need, man.
Proper adulting.
Right?
Nice and stressful.
Was that super stressful for you doing the two at the same time?
Yes. Maybe. There's a few days I was coming in and Marcus was like, Matt, are you okay?
Like, oh, it's two of your biggest, like, first house marriage, two massive life moments in just like, yeah, fuck it, let's just do two at the same time.
Of course.
When you bought the house, did you know that had you already planned that you were going to get engaged?
Yeah, because we got engaged a couple of years ago, and then we were saying, like, oh, okay, like around the wedding, maybe a bit after, we'll look into getting a property. Yeah. But when we started looking, we just found like the best place. So we were really happy, and it was like, it was a worker sort of thing. It was like a proper project. But we were like, we need to do this now, but it's going to go.
Otherwise, you'll lose it.
We're going to lose it. Before we knew it, it was like, right, we've got 6 months until the wedding, and we've just bought a flat. Like, what are we going to do? It's do so much work on it. And
But did you get it in time? You got it done in time for the wedding?
Yeah, we moved in like 2 months before.
Wow, so, good work, man.
It was intense.
But you know what? I always think with these things, man, you know, obviously it's full on doing things, many different things at the same time, but it makes it that much more, I don't know, man, more memorable, more exciting.
Oh, definitely. I mean, 2018, I will never forget this year. When you have big things all in the same year, it just makes it, really memorable.
Elevates everything.
Yeah, it
man.
Does. Yeah.
100%.
But at the same time, it makes things go very quickly. Like, I feel like this year has just gone like that.
Yeah, 100%.
Well, it must be really hectic with your life and the different businesses you're doing and with the show alongside that. It must just feel like a blur sometimes.
I grew up with my mum, who's super creative. And I think with creatives, man, we like to be super busy and on it. And sometimes maybe we spread ourselves a little too thin. But I think, you know, you've got so many ideas. You know the feeling, right? You've got so many ideas going on.
Yeah.
And you kind of feel like you're able to do all of these things at the same time.
My favorite thing is starting things. You get an idea and it makes me so excited that I just want to do, I want to do it straight away. I want to make it happen. And then I got to a position where I did maybe too many things, and the hardest thing for me was time management.
Do time management 100% for so many of us. And what I always say to people when they're trying to set up like a clothing brand, for instance, and they, you know, someone asks me for advice, I always say, take your time. Because it's going to that point there when you've got an idea and you've got this creative, all you want to do is just get it out there and show people. But actually, if you take your time, you'll create something that's so much stronger rather than suddenly you've got it out there. Oh, Matt, now how am I going to manage this? How am I going to get it to the point where it's really going to succeed?
Different businesses I started was mainly from having an idea and then excitement towards that idea of wanting to do it. But what you sometimes forget is you're not only creating a brand, you're creating a business, and you have to run a bit. Businesses have to be managed. Dude, they have to be set up. They have to be run. People.
Exactly.
And there's so much that goes into it. It's not just that idea going, oh, I'd love to have a brand that we sell this. That sounds great, but you forget everything that goes on around it.
Dude, and that all the stuff around it is part, you know, the most important, obviously, the idea and the creative, but then it's how you actually bring it to the market and all the stuff that goes on behind the scenes. I'm more of a creative. I like to visualize things. And over time, I like to think that I've become a bit of a businessman, but I'm still learning from my mistakes, man, all the time.
What inspired you to start your brand?
When I was younger, I was always into art. I was one of those kids at school who was just always in the art schools, always painting, drawing. And then I was growing up with my mum, who was super creative. She had a fashion company. She was an interior designer. So I was always around this creative vibe. And so I always thought either I was going to be an artist or I was going to get into fashion somehow. So after I finished school, I went to St. Martin's. I did a foundation there. And then in my mind, I was thinking, do I want to go to university? Do I want to try and be an artist myself and just start it going? Because ever since kind of the age of 16, I was selling my art and having exhibitions and stuff like that. And then in the end, I decided to go to Newcastle to do a BA in fine art. So I went to Newcastle for 4 years, which I loved. I don't know if you've always been to Newcastle. Have you been there?
I've only been on a book tour for like a few hours.
Dude, you got to go back, man. Newcastle is phenomenal.
My wife's family are Geordies.
Oh, mate, no way, man. Nice, respect, good work. Yeah,
you don't go there, do you? Because they don't live there.
But we've said that we need to do a trip up there because my father-in-law wants to take me around all the like
spots.
You haven't
done a trip?
No, I've only ever seen it on the train, gone past. I'm like,
you're married into that family.
Dude, man, you gotta go check it out because it's a beautiful place. So I was there for 4 years. I was studying fine arts, so I was painting throughout that whole time. And during that time, I was also kind of doing a lot of stuff within fashion. I was printing some of my bits on T-shirts, and I was kind of buying old vintage clothing and customizing them and doing that sort of stuff as a sort of side project. And it wasn't until I moved back to London, I knew I wanted to carry on being creative. I couldn't work out how I was going to go about being being an artist in today's world, like, and really actually making it is so hard.
But the hardest thing as a creative is, how are you gonna turn something into money? If you're creating something, putting it out there, that's amazing, and you know the emotions that go into that. But you have to live. You have to make a living.
Exactly.
And that's
probably
the hard decision that you went through.
Also, what I find as well with painting, I got so stuck in my own mind because it's quite a lonely existence. Yeah. You know, you're in your studio, you're painting every day. Whereas within fashion, you know, you've got your team around you. You're bouncing off people. For me, that's an environment I need to be in because otherwise. If you're in this, you know, painting by yourself, you start getting in your head and, you know, you start questioning every single stroke and why you're doing it. And then you get in the rut when you just can't create anything, and it gets pretty awful. So I came back to London, knew I wanted to carry on being creative, and I actually moved back in with my mum in the countryside. And she had this book on Rio Carnival called Carnival 78. She went to Rio for 4 years back in the 70s and created this amazing book with all this beautiful imagery. And this is when Carnival was out in the streets, which is very different to how it is now. And I was looking through this book, and I'd been to Brazil previously when I was like 18 and fell in love with the place. And I was thinking, wow, these prints would be unbelievable on T-shirts. And this was during the time when graphic tees were a big trend. Everyone was wearing these T-shirts with the big prints. You remember those, right? But no one was really creating an amazing creative, but on like a beautiful tee, like a Pima cotton tee, like something that sit really well, felt really good. So I went over to Portugal, found a factory there, started doing some samples, printing these images on the tees. I got about 10 tees, and then I was thinking maybe I could create some sort of brand around this. And then came to the name, and I knew it had to have some connection to denim because my mum, she used to have a denim company called Denim and Style. So when I was a kid, I was like quadruple denim. And for instance, my room at home is all black wallpaper, slate denim, bedboard. Oh, the bathroom's cool. Blue denim. So our whole house is denim.
That's
like the whole thing is denimed. I even denimed my mum's car. Did like patchwork denim on her car. Even the hubcaps denimed. So we used to cruise around Gloucestershire in this denim car. So I knew that it had to have some connection to denim because for me that was, you know, such a strong connection to fashion. And I was looking into the origin of denim and where it came from. And it actually came originally from Nîmes in France. And the way the cotton is woven was called serge. So denim was originally called serge du Nîmes. And then became Denim, and now obviously we know it as denim. So that's how I came up with the name, and that was 7 years ago, man. And now obviously a lot happens and changes over that time, and you know, like, you know, now we do a lot of jewelry. So
and that was the same. So 7 years ago, same time like when the show was starting too.
So the show had already done one season, and I came in on season two.
Oh, okay.
So it was probably 6 months after. Yeah. So 6.5
such good timing.
Yeah, that's
crazy.
Well,
I mean, you can't obviously in the show. Hey guys, check
it out. No, do you know what? I remember when the opportunity of the show came up and I was in two minds, man. I was so caught and I was toing and froing and I was thinking on the one hand, wow, this could be a really good opportunity. You know, I'm in a place now where I've got a clothing brand, but I don't really have a huge amount of money. I was sleeping on my sister's sofa at the time. I had 500 T-shirts, all of which I was storing at my buddy's mum's house. So every day an order would come through. I would go over to his house and I would do that. The wrapping back then as well was insane.
But that's nice. You say it when you start a brand. So I had the same thing when we started Sourcebox. Because you do have a small customer base, it's really nice to be able to give that personal touch. You know, you also said you were
100%.
Doing like handwritten letters.
Yeah, we were doing handwritten.
Same with us, we did
really
handwritten
nice.
Notes
that's cool.
in the boxes. Yeah. And it's like, you can do that, but obviously when it becomes bigger.
Yeah, of course. And that was always my thing. You know, I think as well, when you start up a brand, it's so important to know every part of the business. It's all fine when things expand and you have a big team. and everyone, you know, you're delegating and everyone's doing their different jobs. But I think it's important to, from the start, know every angle of that brand and how, you know, everything from, you know, the wrapping to everything, whatever it might be.
But if you're doing that yourself, you've come into it with, and it's your core idea, you have to learn that.
Exactly, man, 100%. So, you know, obviously the guys, my buddies had already done season one, yeah, and opportunity came up and I was like, on one hand, do I do it? Could be a really good opportunity. Some exposure could give me a platform to help push my brand. And it, do you know what? And I was thinking it could be a really fun experience. You know, I'm going to be doing something I've never done before, experiencing it with my buddies. But then on the other hand, I was like, oh man, like this could be really negative. One, I could look like a complete douche. Mm. Who knows how they're going to edit it? It was reality TV, which, you know what people's views are on that, etc. So it was kind of like going into the unknown. And in the end, what made me choose to do it, I always stick this, you know, throughout my whole life, is that I think you regret the things you don't do more than the things you do do. I don't want to look back on my life and be like, oh man, maybe had I done that, you never know what would have happened.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As opposed to, you know what, you try and if it doesn't work out, that's fine, man. You can change and you move on, right?
What did your family think when it came and the offer came in?
Oh, they were, I think the only person who was down was my mum, just because my mum's hilarious and she's done a bit of TV stuff over the years and she thinks, you know, the exposure, and she'd seen the first season, she liked it.
Yeah.
Everyone else was like, no, dude, don't touch it.
Really?
Yeah, man. And my buddies, my close friends, my close buddies who weren't on the show, they were all like, no.
Oh, wow.
So actually, I remember when I did actually start doing it, I didn't tell anyone about it.
I find your friends interesting. What was their reaction?
Do you know
what,
man?
Are you still friends with them?
Yeah. Do you know what, man? They are, mate. They're my best boys, and that, you know, these are guys that I've known since I was a kid, right? Yeah. And they know me, and they know who I am. They've known me for so long, and I like the fact that they've, and they still do. They take the piss out of me and all this sort of stuff. I think it's super important to have that core group of friends.
I got my best mates from school,
and they bring you. They make you level. Do you know what I mean? Because otherwise, you can be surrounded by a lot of people who are bigging you up and all this sort of stuff, and suddenly before you know it, you know, you think you're some rock star.
You see that especially in the YouTube world, like a lot of YouTubers maybe started because they didn't have friends, you know, that was a big reason for people who started YouTube. You were like the weird person at school and stuff, and then you surround yourself with like-minded people, you make friends in the YouTube space, and then it's very easy to become immersed in this bubble of just knowing what it's like to be a YouTuber and be famous, and if you haven't got that,
you need the core.
Yeah,
the real world,
you
man.
Need people to just be like, you're still that little shit we went to school with. Like.
But it is true, man. It's so important. You need people like that to keep you level. It was probably not until I'd maybe done the first couple of seasons when they were like, when they saw all the stuff that I was doing outside of the show. You know, the show was super fun and I was getting involved and it was a really fun project. But it was, for me, in my mind, it was a side project. For me, my clothing brand and collaborating with other brands and doing things over fashion, fitness, travel, that is the stuff that gets me up every day, and that's what gets me super excited. Not to say that I didn't love the experience, but I think it's important, as opposed to like going into something like that without having a game plan. But now, you know, they've obviously seen, you know, all the other stuff I've done, and they're like, dude, fair enough. You know, I think it was they now say I think it was a good.
Are some
good
of your friends, out of curiosity, are they confused by this whole world and some of the things they get it and they respect it, but are some of them just like, what?
I don't know, man. I don't think, you know, I try as much as I can to involve them. Mm-hmm. It's not like I live this one life here and then this is my other life. I try and, you know, make sure that there's a middle tier. So they get it. I'm sure it's the same with you as well, right? And you involve them in certain things, and maybe some things you're like, well, this is way too much. I'm probably just going to keep this one to myself. No one has to know about this. So it depends. But no, they get it. And at the end of the day, man, the most important thing, we have these stages in our lives where we have, you know, different people around us. And, you know, obviously when we're growing up and we're younger, we have a lot of friends, right?
Mm-hmm.
A lot of friends. I think the most important thing, and this is part of growing up, when you get to a point where we are now, you like to think that you surround yourself with positive, like-minded people. Yeah, people who big you up, make you feel good, because that is the most important thing in life, man. Just to be around positive people and not to be around these sort of dementors, you know? You know,
real,
I mean?
Friends,
real
as Kanye
friends,
would
man.
Say.
Yeah, real friends.
You'll be thinking about that a lot when you come to seating plans and things like that for the wedding.
Dude, that's
the guest
but,
is
dude,
the hardest.
But mate, but dude, also the stag, I'm really struggling. Because, you know, I want to have a pretty tight stag. I want to have maybe 10 to 15 people. And, you know, I've got this list of about 40 right now. So we're having to break
that
it.
Cut off,
dude, we're having, cut but off. Do you know what we're having to do? We're having to break it down into tiers. You have like tier one, tier two, tier three, tier four. But it's tough.
Do they get on with
it's
everyone?
Tough.
Does
and
this
also,
person mix?
Because there are you know, different groups. So it's, you know, how are these groups going to mix in? And then, mate, going into the wedding as well. Emma and I have been together the last 4 years. I think you've got to look, right, in the last 4 years, who's really been a part of our life, right?
That's so true.
Yeah. Because it's this day is about, it's about us, right? Like, just, you know, it was with you and your wife.
I'll never forget the advice I tell everyone. I'm not even married, so I don't know what it's like. Matt had quite a small wedding, and it was really nice. There was about 50 people at the ceremony. What stuck with me is you saying it's your day, and on your day, you just don't want to have an awkward conversation with anyone.
No. But also, you don't want to be having one. You know those conversations that you have sometimes? I'm sure we have them all the time. Where you're chatting to someone, it could be going fine, the conversation could be great, but in the back of your mind, you're thinking, what is my exit? You know those conversations? Right, I've got to think of my exit plan. You're looking around, you're like, okay, is there anyone in the vicinity nearby who can maybe like, oh, hey, man, oh, dude, I'm so sorry. He's just giving me a shout over here. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, you just don't want that.
You want the conversations where you don't want to leave. Yeah. It's like, I want to chat 100%. To this person all night. Obviously, you can't because you've got to, you know, chat to everyone.
You might not be doing it, but I did a speech and things, and I didn't want to be looking out and seeing strangers and being like, oh wait, this person's going to judge me. No, because if it's all your friends and people you love and they love you, you can't make a mistake in their eyes.
And that's what it's about, man. Wedding day is about love, man. That's why I think weddings are so incredible. The energy in the bars and just the feeling of love, it just radiates from whoever it is that's getting.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
All right.
So, I mean, we've mentioned it countless times, but congrats on the engagement.
Thank you, lads. Appreciate it.
Obviously, you share quite a lot of your relationship online.
Yeah.
How do you... I also share my relationship online, parts of my relationship online. Do you guys have rules with anything? Do you think differently about posting things? What's your kind of mindset about sharing your relationship online?
Yeah, I mean, it's a funny one, isn't it? When I look back when I first started using social media to how I use it now, I'm definitely more open and freer with it. We don't really have any rules as it is, you know, but there are certain things that obviously we like to keep to ourselves. So many couples over social media and they share all this sort of stuff and everyone does it in their own different way. For us, we just want it to be real and for it to be us. It may not be polished, but it's of the moment. It's just us, man. And we love it because it's an opportunity just to share some of the fun and some of the moments with the people who follow us. I don't want it to be fake in any way.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? I just want it to be natural and flowing. I don't, because otherwise I think if you then you start thinking about it too much.
Obviously, when you start posting together as a couple, and I can say this on behalf of Steffi and I, which we have very not strict rules with, we just are like, we don't want to do this for the sake of doing it. More brand opportunities will come about. We've had brands who are like, oh, you guys are a couple and you're cute, we want to do stuff, but you have to do this, and we're just like, nah.
Social media is, it's an amazing thing, right? And you know, it's an amazing way to connect with people immediately. It has so many incredible opportunities to meet amazing people. You've got certain projects or creative things that you're doing, you can share it with everyone. It's important that you're always true to yourself and super authentic. So that goes back to any brands that you're working with. You know, and I don't think there's anything wrong with, you know, working with brands and doing things over social media, but I think it has to be true to yourself, man, because it's so obvious, right? And people can see straight through it. If you're just doing something for the sake of it, you know, it's got to be a brand that you feel you would use or something
you connect with.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah,
I think that's the most important thing.
I think especially if you use the word, I really hate the word influencing.
I know.
If you've got a following and essentially you do have an influence on people, I think you do have to be true to yourself, but at the same time, the audience, most of the time, are smart enough now, unless you have a super young audience. A lot of them can just see through the bullshit anyway. Yeah. If you do something that doesn't match with your audience, they're going to just call you out on it straight away.
Yeah, 100%.
Do you think there are perils of monetizing your relationship then?
Yes, of course.
What are they?
All right, cover of Hello... Hello. I was about to say Hello Life then. Hello. The name of my book.
Hello Life.
Just get
that's
out
a there. Throwback. Jesus. Yeah, of course. So, look, get married, people will be like, yo.
Well, that's going back to, you know, things that we would be comfortable sharing. And obviously, since us getting engaged, we've had certain magazines wanting to, you know, cover the engagement or cover our wedding. And, you know, I think for us, man, like that's just not really something we would feel comfortable with. Mm, and, you know, we want to keep that. Because that's a moment you're only going to have once, right?
That's true.
Yeah, and you want it to be with your loved ones, you know, however many people that may be. If it's 50 people, if it's 100, 200, wherever it is. I'm not saying anything's wrong with it. You know, everyone has different views.
That's the thing. Everyone's to their own. And
well, would you technically be working then? If it was covering your wedding and things, and I don't know.
Well, I think it depends how you do it. I don't think, like, when you say, yo, we do a cover, they're like, cool. We're front row and they're like snapping.
But it does affect the day.
Yeah.
And obviously that will also be in the back of your mind, and, you know, other people, other guests will be aware of, you know, certain pictures or certain things, so they can't use their phone. So it will affect the flow of the day. If you're going to do maybe an interview after the wedding or after the engagement, talking about how it came about, maybe doing photos, something like that, it's fine because it's not affecting that moment when it's not affecting the loved ones around you.
Yeah. In a previous relationship, was shared a lot online. Like, I daily vlogged for 2 years, for example.
Wow.
And that's intense. I've talked about it many times before. Oh, so with Steffi, it's like exactly what you said. We never force things. What we post is genuine happiness or genuine moments that in the middle of going on. But I think working with brands, we'll only do it if it's felt right. You know, we did a shoot with Vogue. That was for us being like, that was really cool.
Badass.
That's a moment that we can go, yo, and we can show the kids.
That was very cool, man. But it is nice, man, to share those moments with and to see positive reply, you know, and see people coming on the journey with you and them really enjoying it. And actually, funny enough, I did film Emma and I's trip to Sweden where we got engaged. So I filmed the whole process, bar me actually going down on my knee.
How did you film that then? Did you have someone with you?
I did it all myself. It's got this badass little gimbal.
Oh, nice.
I was just working it, just, you know.
So you did everything other than the moment?
Everything other than the moment, man.
Were you tempted to do the moment?
I was tempted, but then I'd be thinking about too many things. And, you know, I think in that moment...
I just think
you need to be fully... Dude, you've got to be in that moment. And also, you know what it's like when you do these, like, sort of travel videos and you're doing it yourself and you're with your partner. Sometimes, if you get a beautiful moment, maybe sometimes... Oh, I kind of really want to get that again. And it's like, you know what I mean? So it can sometimes be a little stressful, but it goes back to saying that, you know, I think it's just... getting it in the moment and just trying to go with the flow as much as you can. But I'm looking forward to sharing that in the next month, actually. It should be cool.
It's on YouTube.
I have a YouTube channel, but I haven't been constant. I need to start getting the regular content with you guys here doing one every week.
It's a hustle, man.
But it's just tough, man. And I'm trying to, you know, obviously my brand is my baby and my focus, and I'm traveling a lot. So it's just trying to get into the routine of it. But I think with the Sweden trip, I'm going to do it on IGTV. Our main following is on Instagram. So, you know, if we're going to share it with anyone, I want to share it with those cats. So, yeah, I'm kind of nervous about seeing that one, actually. I don't know.
Why? Are you going to edit it, or will someone else edit it?
No, I've got an amazing buddy of mine who edits the videos.
A lot of pressure on him.
Yeah. But it's funny, you know, because we do these travel trips, and sometimes we do some quite rogue things. And, you know, I meant to go through all the videos and cut out some of these ones. You know, but sometimes I forget. And he messages me being like, bro, were you meant to send me this clip? I'm like, oh, sorry, buddy. That wasn't for you, that one.
I always worry Marcus is going to do it. When I see all the stuff in Dropbox, I'm like, oh, please don't be anything I don't want to be seeing in there.
Yeah,
he's been pretty good up to now.
He's been pretty good. But I think, with all this stuff, you've got to be so on it, man. You've got to be so consistent, right? Man, I have so much respect for you guys and all those other YouTubers out there who've really smashed it and they're putting out all this content, because it's not a fluke, man. Like, you guys have hustled and you have put in the time. That stuff doesn't just happen overnight. And I remember when I first started looking into YouTube and I was a bit behind it, I was thinking, wow, man, these guys have really, you know, lucked out. No. These cats have not lucked out.
The issue with that is also the subject of burnout. Mm. You know, if you do, like I said, at the end of 2 years, I was like, fuck, what am I doing?
Yeah.
Like, cool, make money, do all this stuff. But
also, I guess what must happen when you get to that point, you kind of start losing a sense of like, whoa, wait a second, what is my direction? Like, where am I right now? What was my plan when I started 4 years ago. Yep. And it's almost like you're on this roller coaster ride, right? And you're just riding it, you keep going, but you don't know the end goal and you don't know where you're going or what the plan is.
Yeah, because that roller coaster sits in the YouTube theme park, which is, I always say YouTube's like a game, right?
Yeah.
So you can choose to play the game as much as you want. Mm. And you know, the more you put into it, the more you're going to get out of it. But it just becomes exactly what you said. When we're making these videos, we went for a phase where we're not making stuff that we wanted to make. It's just, we know what's going to do well. We know what's going to do
well.
Yeah,
see, that's when
that's
it kind
a bad
of,
cycle
man.
To be in.
That is
you
a bad
cycle. You balance the integrity with your output as well.
Yeah, yeah, man.
That's hard to,
yeah, when
to
you're
do
creating,
then, wasn't it?
When you're creating content that you don't really love, that's a little tricky, isn't it? That's when it starts. I mean, the same with anything in life, right? You've got to do something that you love. I think if you're doing something that you're not enjoying, life is too short.
I was in my position, I was lucky that I could make that decision and go, actually, hang on a sec, I'm not enjoying this anymore, and I could switch up and
but hard
and change
hard
it.
Making a switch and doing something different, because I guess your followers and the people who are, you know,
oh bro,
suddenly they're like, wait a second, this is not what I signed up for. Like, maybe when you do all your sort of, you know, I know you love fashion and
yeah,
stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
So I mean, how do your followers react to you doing that?
I mean,
so that's probably been the subject of about 6 months worth of podcasts.
I was just trying to say, yeah.
Trying to like transition.
Yeah,
but it's tough,
anyway.
Isn't it?
Of course it is, because I'm the type of person as well who, when I, in my head, when I want to do something, it's like, I just do it like there. When, you know, how quick was it from, oh, I want to get an office to, oh, I've got an office now. It's like, it's good and bad that happens. But it was the same with this. When I made the decision, I was like, right, I want to change my content and I want to put stuff out that I'm actually interested in.
Yeah.
Oh man, it's been a fucking wild journey. The last year has been up and down and crashes, but now I'm good. I'm like, I'm really happy. My audience get it, and
that's
we're,
good,
we're in a good place. So
but yeah, you gotta have the ups and downs, man. You get the downs, so you appreciate the ups.
How did you know you were comfortable on camera? Like, was that the first television you've done, Made in Chelsea?
Dude, yeah, that was the first time I'd been on camera. I was used to being in front of a photo. So my mum was a photographer, so fine doing stills, yep. You know, that sort of stuff, fine.
That's cool. So did you grow up having photo shoots? Because
oh man, my mum was crazy with the photo shoots.
So we
used to go on holiday and all the family would come. I have my family's kind of spread out. I have family in Australia, America, and mum would always say, on every trip you've got to bring one full white outfit, one full black outfit. So we would have a full day on our holidays. Everyone, let's say we were in the Bahamas or somewhere, we go down to the beach, 10 to 15 of us, like all, everyone, like grandkids, cousins, etc. And but it's amazing to look back at some of these photographs that we've got, you know, all
yeah,
of us in all epic. White, all black. And at the time, you're a little bit like, oh man, do you have to do this? But look, you know, it's amazing to have those and to look back on them. So yeah, in front of the camera, I was fine. In terms of filming, I remember the first scene that I did, actually. And because in my mind, I was thinking, one, I don't know how they're going to edit me. I don't know how this has come across. So I was like in my mind thinking a lot. And then, you know, obviously you're very aware of the cameras.
Yeah.
And I think one of the most important things for you to be comfortable in front of a camera is to just not see them. You know what I mean? Just feel comfortable in yourself. So it took me a while, man. I reckon it took me maybe, I don't know, like 6 months, I reckon, to get fully relaxed and comfortable.
Do you ever cringe looking back on this?
Massively, man.
Oh,
yeah,
cool.
Yeah. Dude, some of the, like, back in the day, obviously when I was single, some of the sort of dating scenes are just... Dude, I remember one scene which was just awful. They had this idea for me to roll in on this... Forget the name of the boat. It had a specific name. Very long, narrow boat. And they wanted me to come in and pick up one of the girls who was on the show. And then we went off, did some rowing and stuff, and then we parked the boat up. And imagine being like by the bank, we've got like a picnic with like champagne and strawberries, and there's like four cameras. There's all the cameramen like lying down on the bank, like right in my eye view. And
everyone
and,
looking
and
all
she's
the
so far away, like she's where you are now. So I'm at like
so
one, I'm at one end of the boat, you're there. I know what they want. They want a kiss. Yeah. And I'm like, you're so far away. This is
just so awkward.
And we're like kind of having this conversation, and the conversation's just like burning out. And I'm like, oh God. And then, wait a second. Suddenly I get a whisper in my ear. If there's ever a time to kiss, this is it. And action. I'm like, oh my God. I'm like, the pressure right now.
And I remember, that was one of the toughest moments. I remember, I don't know how I got away with it in the end. I think I said something like really cheesy. Oh, I would love to kiss you right now, but you're so far. How about we meet halfway? I did the sort of like standing up on the boat and the boat's like rocking. We sort of like met. Wow, man. Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah. Those moments. Yeah. Those moments were pretty tough, man.
Are you scared?
The BQ, yeah. Shit, man.
Don't have a look.
Oh, the big Q, question. Man.
It's a big moment.
Woo! I'm even going to throw you off because I'm not going to do that question. That's
Ooh.
On the
Oh, shit. Man.
I'm terrified. Like,
you're freestyling this Woo. Right now.
So, are you guys ready for a big question?
This yeah. is a big question. Is this big question at both of us?
It's for...
For the whole table, right?
The
here.
Whole table.
All right.
Basically, yeah. I go away and I find my favourite articles online.
Okay.
And then from there, I'll get a question. Okay. And then we'll get an answer from us.
Okay,
so
nice.
The headline is, woman branded disgusting after being filmed drinking beer for a dead fish.
Wow.
Well, I mean...
She well, drank beer. Oh, did she slice off the
That's
tail and was she...
And
would you like to see a visual yeah, representation?
I would like to visualize this, please.
So what they've done is they've cut a slit.
Oh, my God, mate. Wait. And this is a
is
funnel?
Is that the beer bottle there?
Yeah.
And
wait.
I mean,
that is outrageous.
I'm pretty sure it's coming in through like the gills here and they're pouring it.
Oh, that is
nice thing to do to a dead animal.
That is really, really niche.
First thing to say, none of us agree with that.
Firstly, that is horrendous. Wasn't expecting that. Jay and I once, it was actually pretty gross.
Yeah,
we had to do the, you know, when you do these sort of PAs back in the day, we used to do these appearances at nightclubs.
Yeah.
And we did one in somewhere up north. I think it could have been Durham. And we were on stage and we weren't told. We thought we were just showing up at a club. Everything was going to be super chilled. You know, we just kind of have a few drinks, meet a few people, take a few photos. And suddenly they're like, okay, guys, so we're going to need you up on stage in 20 minutes. And we're like, dude, what are we doing? And so basically... We go up on stage, and this is back in the day when the show was pretty big, so there was like quite a bit of hype, you know, there was a bit of screaming going on, you know that vibe.
I'm more excited like, to see where this is going, I'm like...
And, dude, some of the tasks we had to do were pretty, pretty niche, man. So it was me and Jay, and we were up against two of the girls from Geordie Shore. So the first thing that comes up, and the only reason it reminds me, because I saw that obviously with a beer jug, so the first thing, pint of beer... And so you would have the pint of beer.
To neck it.
No, and I would have an empty glass. You would have to drink from the beer, pass it into my mouth, and then I would have to pass it into this empty glass, and we'd have to transfer the whole pint to this empty glass through our mouths. I was like, sweet, buddy.
Durham sounds wild.
Durham was wild, man. Anyway, we won.
Oh, wow.
Good.
Yeah,
that's amazing.
What did you win? No dignity. So.
Yeah, we just got respect, man. Just big respect.
Fucking hell.
That fish reminded me of that moment.
I'm stumped.
Yeah, that was a weird one.
Yeah, what I was going to ask you guys
yeah.
is what is the most exotic drink you've ever had? I mean, that is pretty wild.
Dude, you are crazy right but, now. Most exotic drink?
Yeah, it's absolutely gone for it, this one.
Oh, man, stop it. Do you want to go first?
I have so many choices, man. You must have one.
I was going to say, exotic was probably just like a dirty pint with my pub crawl.
Then, dirty pint?
Yeah, just disgusting. So to the bar, it was like a really local village kind of pub.
Yeah.
So then they said to him, oh, can you just put a bit of everything in there? And he's like, well, it's going to cost you. It's like, yeah, that's fine, just do it. And then it was, well, I mean, beer, cider, shots of everything,
okay, so
whiskey.
Wait, okay, so exotic is like savage.
Well,
is that what
I think
saying?
It can be anything.
Because I was thinking in my mind, exotic, I was thinking like
pina colada.
Nice yeah, dude, that's where I was at. But if we're going down that
well,
dirty pint,
whatever pie, your interpretation.
See, for me,
something.
I always think exotic is something quite nice, you know.
That's
but
true.
That dirty pint sounds horrendous.
See, I was sat here thinking, have I ever drunk piss?
Oh, that's
yeah.
Wow.
I mean, that's where my
see
mind
my weird. See, for me, I always think drink. Where would you drink an exotic drink? Somewhere exotic,
yeah,
somewhere laid back and awesome.
I feel
so.
Like,
you're thinking you're going to be drinking a pint of piss.
I feel like that's because I know where
you know
your
where
mind
you know where my
so
like,
you
don't want us to sit
is.
Here and go. Oh,
I got you.
My favorite margarita was in.
Okay.
You want the dirt?
You want the
that's
dirt,
what you want.
Man? Okay.
Just to care if I haven't drunk piss. I was just trying to think. Oh, yeah, sure, buddy.
Okay, so your most exotic drink is piss.
Is this your piss or someone else's? I haven't drunk piss.
Is this your own piss?
No, it's not. I was thinking, have I actually ever drunk it? And then I just had a memory, no, but once at a festival, I did get a bottle of piss thrown at my head.
That's kind of counts. Great. Did you get a sip?
I probably...
You had a taste? Was there a taste? You had a taste. So
I had a drug piss.
Okay, so Marcus's most exotic drink is someone's piss. Okay, most savage drink. I would probably go down the route of, forget the name of it, they do a shot absinthe with tequila, and then they top it up with a little bit of Bailey's, man. It's just so it really churns, you know? That's pretty gross.
I tried absinthe on the holiday recently, first time.
Absinthe is that on its own. It's pretty full on. Yeah. The heartburn that comes from that is real. Do you get the Rennies ready? Because that is going to get you.
Well, thank you very much for listening to this episode of Lower Expectations. I hope you guys have enjoyed it. Thanks, Oliver.
Thank you for having
me, boys. Thanks for coming on, man.
Appreciate it, man. Thank you so much. Thank you, guys.
As always, guys, please continue to rate us 5 stars. Leave your lovely reviews for us to get happy over reading. And we will see you guys next Monday.
Love you, cats. You baby.
Bye.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.